This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Welcome to Pizza Quest. I'm Peter Reinhardt, a man on a never-ending search for the perfect pizza. This show is the audio version of the Pizza Talk YouTube series, where I engage in interesting conversations with some of the country's greatest pizza makers and other artisans. Thanks for joining me on this quest. Welcome to Pizza Talk. I'm Peter Reinhardt, and today, very excited to be with Nicole Russell coming to us from her home kitchen in Queens, New York. In fact, tell me exactly, I know you're right on the border between Queens and Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, I'm in the Rockaways.
Rockaways. Yeah. And look at that, and that's look at that island. I love that big slab you get to work on. So and you've got Last Dragon Pizza. It's a unique concept. It's almost like a different kind of model, a different business model, and it's getting a lot of traction. And somehow that traction got you a trip to Italy, or you got to travel with the pizza guys, the Yodis and the gurus of pizza, and now you're one of them. You know, so can tell us a little bit about that. Tell us your journey. We'll talk for a few minutes. Then you can make us one of your signature pizzas.
Well, my journey into pizza making was a fluke because I was always a good bread maker or just a baker in general. And I was just baking bread and a lot more frequently in 2013 or so. Mm-hmm. And I was affected by Hurricane Sandy, as a lot of people may know. And so I lost a lot of things and lost everything and stuff like that. And then at the same time, my sister, we share a home together. We're second generation homeowners here. And my sister came home with cancer, told me she had a cancer diagnosis.
Oh boy.
So I was, you know, we were living pretty transient lives where, you know, she's in finance, very hardcore, long hours. And I was like in nightlife at the time or just, you know, just doing a lot of different little things because I was doing freelance.
Uh-huh.
And I just made a decision to just slow down and spend more time with her to just really see what's going on. And then it was really intense in the house because everything was all over the place. You know, the house was crazy, still even a year after, because this is like a year after, because we're still renovating the whole bottom. So a lot of stuff had to come up. And so we're living on top of each other. Yeah. And then the diagnosis, and then, you know, it got really intense, you know, just very heavy. And so what I started to do for fun was start to make pizza, because one night I ordered pizza and I didn't really like it. And I was like, I think I could do better than this.
That's how it got you. When you go, I can do better than this, that's when you know that they've got you.
Yeah, because, you know, there's no sense in sitting down and diagnosing, you know, like, you know, just breaking things down and like, oh, look at this cheese, it's terrible. Oh, look at this sauce. Why did they do that? Oh, you know, like that. I said, you know what, I think I could do better. So I just started reading online, you know, stuff about dough, about pizza dough in particular. Then I started watching videos on pizza dough. And then I just started making dough. And then, so I would just make dough for my sister. Like, you know, we would have a TV night. And I'd be like, when you get home, I'm going to make some pizza. We're going to watch TV together. And she's like, you know, it like brought the spirits up. Like, we stopped thinking about everything that was going on around us and just focused on just bonding and having fun and watching TV and binge watching our favorite shows. So I made a pizza and she liked it. And she, you know, my sister, what you'll get to know about my family is that they are very hard critics. Like, they don't let you know that it's good. They're like, oh, it's okay.
You got to earn your points.
I'll come out like sweating and how do you like it? They're like, yeah, it's okay. You know? Then one day my sister was like, she just sat there and she just called me and said, this is pretty good. I said, really?
So that's huge, right? That's a huge compliment. Yeah.
Huge from her. To this day, she doesn't compliment me still. Like, to this day, like, I'll make a pizza. She was like, this is good. But I remember last year you made. I'm like, last year, sister? Like, I don't know what I made last year. But anyway.
That's kind of like your reality check. Is that?
Yeah, very much a reality check. They ground you all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So and, your sister, she's still with us then?
My sister didn't, yeah, thank God. Actually, you want to know something? She's actually getting chemo right now at Lenox Hill right now. So she's surviving. She's stage 4 and she's on daily chemo, but she recently had an upset, so she has to go get chemo as well. You know, but it's nothing sad because if you met her, she's still upbeat. She's still happy. It's just that we have a new kind of normal. I hate that term new normal, but it is a new normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, so the pizza, at least pizza has brought joy into the house.
Exactly. But
how did this, you know, sort of hobby in a sense, or something you were doing for fun and pleasure, turn into a little side business or a business, your main business?
Okay. Basically, the workers were here, and the contractor that we had, he owned a house on the block, so he actually worked on several houses on the block, and so he had people always coming, you know, the workers to come and work. So I got to know them, you know what I mean. And one day, one of the workers was in my house doing something electrical work, I think, and I was just making pizza, and I was just like, "Hey, Louis, you know, I'm gonna make pizza. Do you want some?" You know. Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, sure." So I offered it to him. Right. And then he actually was like, "Listen, this is the best pizza I've ever had." And I looked at him like he was crazy. I was like, "What?" So then he
said, "You could have got your sister and said, 'Did you hear what he just said?'"
I know. She heard it, but she doesn't care.
Right. She's still gonna be hard on you. Yeah.
That's right. And then he just told a friend and came back, and he's really the one that gave me the notion that, oh wow, I can sell this. So yeah.
So all of a sudden you've got customers and word of mouth and everything else. And then how did you end up getting invited to go over to Italy with the team?
Well, I didn't actually. Well, what happened with Italy was I had just did an article in NPR on Nuvola Flower, and Scott from Scott Pista Tours.
Yeah.
He had introduced them to me and sent me flower, and I went to the expo in 2018, right? So they already knew, like, who I was or whatever, saw me bubbling up, right? Yeah. But then when I got the Nuvola, I really love Nuvola, still use Nuvola flower to this day. And they wanted me to compete, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to go to Italy for my first time in Naples and compete. You know, I'm just not going to do that. Like, yeah. I have to go see what it's like.
Yeah.
People who do that, God bless them. But I had to go and just scope the scene.
Right.
So they allowed me to come along just to scope the scene. And it was the most wonderful trip, I think. Man, like, we're supposed to go back in June this year. And everyone's so down about it.
Yeah, I know. It's heartbreaking. But, my God, you got to travel to Italy, to Naples with the pizza gods. And hang out with the Italian pizza gods who of course they believe are higher gods than our gods, but you know.
Yes, they do. They could care less about American pizza.
But you got this relationship with Caputo flour using their Nuvola flour. Is that
what? Nuvola. Yeah, that's really, I would say, the foundation of how I really got Orlando Foods, and I built a stronger relationship. Chip is with the Nuvola flour. Yeah.
So, is this dough that you're going to make today?
I still use Nuvola because I've tried different ones, Americana. I mean, you know, there's different ways to make doughs, but I find that the performance at 550 degrees for Nuvola,
yeah,
is just so good. I really
work in a home oven as well as a.
Yes. So, bring it to a level where people's expectation of pizza, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, before you start to make the pizza, and before we run out of time in the segment, just tell me one more thing, and that is, how does the business work now? How do people get pizzas from you?
So what happens is I have a website, so I've always been online. It's still word of mouth, and I have days when I come on, and I just say I'm making pizza, and people check the website, and if you catch me, you kind of catch me. But for years, though, I was consistently like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, consistent. I mean, like, there were days and weeks where no one came to see me, but I was always ready, you know, and I think that consistency is what really catapulted me further, because I was always ready. And so usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you go online and you just pick a time and you pick up, and then I tell you where to pick it up from.
So it's a kind of like a catch me if you can pop-up. on the internet. And so typically, like, how many pizzas a day when you have a busy day? What how many?
I used to only do 20 pies a day, but now when I'm real heavy day, I would do like 35, 40 pies a day.
That's a lot of pies out of the home oven, right?
It's a lot of work.
Well, you're pushing hard. Yeah.
Yeah, all by myself.
Let's start making one, and we'll keep talking as we make it, and you can tell us a little bit more about the flour and everything, but let's get a pizza going so we can get it in the oven, and then we'll take it, and then we'll taste it on the way, on the second segment.
Okay. So, this is just some semola.
Okay.
And got the dough in here.
Oh, you've got one already flattened out and ready to go.
Yeah,
huh?
Nice and floured up.
Well, how far ahead do you make that dough?
It depends. Sometimes I do an 18-hour dough, and sometimes I do three, four days. This is like 3-4 days.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah. Wow. So basically,
that looks
refrigeration. I should say I do a refrigeration too.
Yeah, cold fermentation. But that looks like a good sized piece of dough. Is it about a pound or what?
This is. I don't do by pounds. I do by grams. This I think is 450.
450, which is close to a pound of dough. Yeah.
Oh, yes, it is. 400 is like a pound. What's a pound of dough?
Was it 454 or something like that?
Oh, yes,
a pound. I've already been straight in my head, but I think still thinking pounds and ounces, but I try also to program myself to thinking grams a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm going to calculate that. You said four, what is it? How many?
450.
All right. I'm
gonna make about I would say anywhere to about a, let's say 14 to 16 inch pie.
That's just under 16 ounces. So that's that's a good sized pie, and it's a pretty big pie. Yeah.
Yes. It's not like Neapolitan.
No, it's more New York style. It looks like what everyone else in the world calls New York style anyway.
Yeah.
This is really Nicole style. This is your style.
Yeah, because you know, I'm influenced by a lot of pizza people and ideas, you know. But you definitely still got to make it your own. I'm just putting a little. I like to, you know, I'm a person that likes the crisp.
Yeah.
So I have about a 63. I'm sorry, I'm talking while I'm doing this. I have like a 63 hydration dough.
Oh, so it's not too sticky.
Yeah, I find 63 is a sweet spot for me at 550 degrees. This is just what works for me. I couldn't say, you know.
Besides salt, is there any oil or anything else in that dough?
Oh, yes. There's some olive oil in here.
Uh-huh.
There's some olive oil in here. And oh, man.
It always happens. Yeah, people call me all the time when we're on.
Right? I do not disturb, but...
All right, so you got the pizza looking good. It's looking good. It's really fills the peel.
Yes.
And which tell us by the way, what's the type of pizza you're making? Is this your?
So this pie I came up. With the influence of making pizza, I wanted to make a pizza that was like, I do your margaritas, I do your plain cheese pepperoni, blah 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 blah. But I wanted to bring a little bit of my heritage into the pizza.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is my way of like how, you know, they brought Queen Margherita, the Italian pieces with the colors. This is my bringing my colors. I'm born American, but my family's Jamaican. So I'm
Jamaican.
So the colors is gold, black, and green. And we also make jerk chicken. And with the movie The Last Dragon, which my pieces are inspired by the movie The Last Dragon, one of the main characters is a jerk. He's a real jerk.
So it's a double play here on the word jerk chicken.
Yeah.
Going to ask you about Last Dragon. So that's based on a movie title.
Yes. So in the movie, there's a popular scene. So my sister, my sister took me to see that movie when I was younger.
Yeah.
And So she took me to see the movie when I was younger. And in the movie, there's a black family. And the father says... And he sells pizza, and everybody thought he was crazy for opening a pizzeria because he's like a black family opening a pizzeria like no one does that. So when I started doing pizza, a lot of my friends thought I was crazy too.
Well,
they're like, what are you doing? You're doing pizza?
It's true. It's an interesting point that you're making, because we don't see a lot of African-American pizzaiolos in this country yet. But I'm wondering
Hold on, let me just...
Welcome to the Zoom world, folks. It's real time.
Uncle, I gotta call you back.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. He would call me right when I'm doing it.
Of course. Of course.
He's got a new iPhone, so he's like, he's like, how do I work this thing? So, yeah. So I put some pecorino on here. You know, classic New York style. You know, pecorino, a little oregano on the bottom. Uh-huh. I'm using grande whole milk mozzarella.
Okay.
Right? And I'm going to put some on here.
So up to this point, we're really talking about a sort of a classic sauce and cheese pizza, with which is now going to get turned into something else.
Right. So to represent the colors, I'm going to put some yellow. Sometimes I use banana peppers or I use bell peppers, but yellow bell peppers, black olives. And I'm going to finish off with a green onion on top of the jerk chicken.
Before you get going, what about that sauce? What kind of...
look, we're on the same page.
You think
so, this is the jerk sauce here.
Oh, now special jerk sauce.
Scratch. So jerk sauce, the main ingredient is allspice, pimento, allspice, and green onion is the main ingredient.
Wow.
So it's a very, like, I would say, like, allspice, a combination of, like, nutmeg. You know the
spices. Yeah, allspices. Yeah, so it is like, it tastes like four spices in one. Yeah.
Right. So that's why I think
Jamaica. What about peppers? Are there hot peppers in the sauce? Is it a...
Yes, there is a scotch bonnet.
Scotch bonnet. I always think of that. Sure.
Yeah, only use the orange scotch bonnet, so it's very spicy.
Yeah.
And then this is the chicken and onion mix.
Ah.
So this is just some pre-cooked chicken and dice onion mix. So I'm just going to take the jerk, stir it up a little bit, let that get... So usually I would have this marinating a little longer than what I'm doing right now, but I just wanted to do that to show you how I...
I'm glad you did, because so typically if you would make that, mix it up a little ahead of time.
Yeah.
So by the time you're making the pizzas, it's already had a chance to soak it up a little.
Yeah, especially the onions. You know, the onions will get a nice flavor. And then, so what I'm going to do is, so I have some black olives here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this jerk chicken on.
Uh-huh.
All over.
While you're doing that, let's go back to the tomato sauce. What kind of salt tomatoes do you use, and, you know, how do you prepare it?
Well, I use a whole peel. I really am a lover of chow tomatoes, too. I love chow tomatoes.
That's right. And you've got a relationship with Orlando Foods. And
But I have to say, I make this clear, it's not only because they're so great and I love those guys. I really, really love the consistency. I got to go to the tomato plant with them.
Oh, nice.
And I saw how they made the tomato. And what I realized was what I didn't like with a lot of tomatoes is that I had to add water.
Uh-huh.
I hated that I had to add water. Now, some of those tomatoes are good for other pies, like, for instance, like a Detroit pie. Like, yeah. You have to think of tomato base, you have to add water. I think it works.
Yeah.
But for the kind of pie I make, I like the silkiness.
So it comes out of the can just where you want it.
Yes, it's so silky. Yeah.
That's interesting. So you got to go to the tomato plant while you were in Italy on that trip.
Yeah, I went to the Buffalo mozzarella plant, too.
That was like a trip of a lifetime you had.
A trip of a lifetime. I'm so, you know, gracious. I don't even know the words to put in. And my whole family got to go. You know that, right?
Oh, no. That's very cool.
My sister and my mom came with me, too.
Fantastic. Wow.
So it was like a trip that was like down in the books that we'll never forget.
That is really, I call that a trip full of grace.
Yes, more than grace. Just... I don't know. I'm so honored to be a part of this piece of family, you know? It's just,
and life-changing, because look where it's led. Look what you're doing now.
Changed my life.
All right. Yeah. So that's it? It's ready to go in?
Yeah, but look. So you see, it has...
So we got the black, the
gold. And the gold. I'll finish with the green.
I'll finish with the... Gotcha. All right. Beautiful. All right. Ready to go in the oven. You got your oven cranked at 550.
550. So I have a convection oven. So my process is this. I use 550 bake normal, right? And then in the last 3 minutes, I put the top roaster on with convection. So I do a convection roast at the last minute.
I got it. All right. On the stone. In the oven, and so it's going to be about 5 to 8 minutes for the bake. And I tell you what, while that's baking, this is probably a great time for us to take a little break. We'll get ready, and when we come back from the break, and when you rejoin us after the break, come back and we're going to actually see the finished pie, and we'll get to vicariously taste it with you. I wish I was there to actually taste it. That jerk chicken looks amazing.
You should smell it.
I'm sure. And this is, and when we come back, you'll tell us about some of your other pizzas, but this is, I know, one of your most popular.
Yeah, this is my most popular, when people want to see me.
This is like when people say, what's the one pizza I've got to get if I'm going to get Nicole's, it's going to be the jerk.
That's right. Yep. I mean, right. Conference,
Beautiful. We'll see you in on the other side of the break. All of you, please join us on the next segment of Pizza Talk. We're here with Nicole Russell from Last Dragon Pizza. Now we know why it's called Last Dragon, and we're about to see her signature jerk chicken pizza. Thanks. We'll be right back with more Pizza Quest right after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2 Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Have you ever been tempted to like go next level up, like get a facility, a brick and mortar?
You know, I have to kind of admit that I never really wanted a pizzeria.
Yeah, right. I know. You kind of stumbled into it.
Right.
All right. Oh, wow. And then you're gonna garnish it up and green it.
Yeah. So to be honest, I don't come from a pizza family. You know what I mean? So no one really, you know, everyone has like real jobs, real career. They say to me, we have real jobs. I'm like, okay. They don't say that so much anymore, though.
Yeah, because they've clearly never been to Pizza Expo, so they don't realize what a serious profession this actually is.
Yes, yes. So this is how I usually do it. So the Jamaican flag has X's.
So those are scallions, or what is?
Yeah, it's green onion scallions.
Uh-huh.
And then I just top it with X's to represent the flag. So we got the gold, we got the green.
Yeah.
And we got
and the black.
And I'd probably give this to my neighbors because I'm all pieced out.
This the flour that you're using, the Nuvola, that is specially formulated by Caputo, right, to kind of be their version of a American pizza flour. Is that the idea?
I think it's like an all-purpose flour because when they rolled it out, they made cakes with it. They made fried pizza with it. They made Neapolitan pizza at 700 degrees with it. They made, you know, so many things with it. So it's very, I think they want it to be like a versatile flour.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's strong, but it's not so fine. It's not as fine as a 00, it's a 1.
Yeah, yeah. Which it seems like they were very influenced by what was going over here in the United States and wanted to be able to create a flour that performed on our style of pizzas as well as over there.
Yeah, and the thing is for me is that it really performed well for me at 550, you know, because that's my struggle. 550 and drop, because remember, every time I open the oven, it drops.
Yeah.
So the recovery. So I needed a flour that can have the recovery, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I tried Americana before, which was cool. I used to use Pillsbury. That was a really flavor because I really love the malt in the Pillsbury, so it gave it a nice brown coloring to it. So now I just use honey in the dough. And that helps you with the browning. I used to use Pillsbury. I used Altron's before.
That's high gluten. Yeah.
Everyone uses that. King Arthur, like it depends on what I'm doing, I'll use King Arthur. But my staple is Nuvola.
Well, that's cool.
Because they're wonderful. It performs for me.
It's great that you found one that works for you, for the pizza that you have in your mind that meets your need.
It's consistent.
And when you said the Americano, I realized that's the one that Caputo developed to kind of be like the New York style pizza flour. And then when they introduced Nivola, and I saw it for the first time at Pizza Expo, it was really so that you could even make baguettes with that flour and French breads and get this great open crumb. Let's take a look at a slice and look at the structure on the inside of the Cornicion.
So you got
that big air pocket in there, and what's the texture like when you? I know you're not going to take a bite, which is killing me because I just want to eat a whole half of that pie right now. But what is the texture like? You know, when someone bites into it, and the combination of flavors. What are they going to get? A blast of heat, of spicy heat, or what?
It's not that spicy because, you know, I don't even want to make it where people would be like, oh my God, it's too hot. But you do taste the spice. The thing about a Scotch bonnet pepper that I like in comparison to like a habanero is that it has a tang to it.
Yeah.
Heat and a tang.
Yeah.
So when I get that tang with the onions, you know, I find that the tang and the onions really bring out this great spicy flavor with the tang to it. So what you'll get is on the bite, you'll get like the jerk chicken. And I did it where it's more of like a not so roasted dry, a little moist so you can taste like the moistness. You know, nobody wants a dried up topping pizza. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
a little moist jerk seasoning with the onions and the olives and the peppers, and the crust is firm, but not, you know, not too stiff, but it's firm.
Right. It's kind of, sounds like it's got a nice crackle and crunch, and yet it's a little bit moist and creamy on the inside.
Yeah. So it's really good. And so, the grande cheese is kind of sharpish a little bit to me, but not too sharp, like a sharp provolone, but it's still sharp.
And a little acidic-y.
Yeah. So then I like the way it plays off that. And so the reason why I started doing what made me think of jerk, too, and also my second most pie is a tandoori pie that I do. And my third pie is an Asian barbecue pie that I do. But the thing is, right, why I thought these things would work in my little silly mind is that because we work with fire a lot.
Yeah.
All these meats are like barbecue. All these cuisines from all these global cuisines are really like barbecue, like a tandoor oven with the fire, with the chicken or whatever they put in the tandoor. Oh,
and barbecue really means, I mean, its original term was to cook over fire.
To cook over fire. So pizza is cooked with fire.
The fire.
The meats over the fire. I just thought it would be a good way to just infuse like a little, you know, global inspiration and really just satisfy the needs of my community. We were in a food desert. Like, I had to drive all the way to Long Beach, which was like 2 miles, 3 miles, just to get Indian food. I have to, you know, I'm West Indian, but occasionally if I want a West Indian food, I'll have to go look for one if I don't feel like cooking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I wanted to bring like a melting pot of New York into my signature pies. So you're going to have the staples.
Yeah.
You're going to have the staples. So I have a Philly cheesesteak because we like a good sandwich, but also cheesesteak.
Yeah. You know?
So I put a Philly cheesesteak, it's the show enough. This is the Kiss Me Converse, the jerk chicken. Then we have the Seventh Heaven, which is the tandoori. And the Asian barbecue is my favorite name. I don't know, have you ever seen The Last Dragon?
I never saw the whole film. I saw part of it. I think I was on a plane or something and I watched it, but I didn't get to see the whole film.
Well, there's a part where they're in Chinatown and the guys dance and they go, sukiyaki hot sake soup. Well, anyway. My piece, the name of the Asian barbecue is Sukiyaki Hot Sake Soup.
Oh, yeah. And after the movie, So what goes in your Asian barbecue? Is it like a Chinese style or Korean style?
It's like a Korean style. Like, how do I say? More of a, it's peppery. Mm-hmm. It's honey. It's honey. You know, just like barbecue. Little hoisin sauce in there.
Yeah.
You know, all stirred up together. Chili.
Oof. So basically, you've got
it's heat, but it's not crazy heat. Like, oh my God, I can't, you know.
In hearing the menu, it's really like Last Dragon really is global pizza. It's like you've got a
global pizza inspired.
Kitchen. You should call it the Last Dragon Global Pizza Kitchen.
Yeah, well, yeah.
When you're doing global food here, you know.
Yeah. I'm interested in a lot of different cuisines, you know, because I can't really choose. And then it's so funny, like at certain points, all the cuisines kind of mesh, like, you know, down to the bare basics of flatbread. Yeah. Well, you know, pizza is not considered a flatbread, but it's a flatbread, but it's not considered a flatbread, you know, so you, and like what people do all over the world with different flatbreads, and then just pizza, just uniquely being just pizza.
Yeah.
And then just incorporating those things that are universal around the world into the pizza, which they do too. You know, but they did it their way, Italians. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So I think that the world is really waking up to this notion that pizza doesn't belong to Italy only. It belongs to the world. Dough with something on it that looks like pizza, but may be called by other names, exists all over the planet.
Right, but I give Italians credit, of course. You know, I don't want to sit here and say like, oh, no. But I think that it's very inspirational of how they even derived with the pizza. And then that's just a lot hot, like, you know, everybody had to do what they had to do back in the days. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And bread is a major part of doing what you have to do.
And they do it well. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned that your family's roots go back to Jamaica and West Indies. Do you ever get to go over back to the islands? And do you?
Plenty of times. I went there a lot as a child, and I go plenty of times. I haven't been in a while. But yeah, I'm very familiar with Jamaica.
But your cooking influences are very strongly steeped in that culture. So did you cook a lot?
My mom cooked a lot of diverse menu. Like we didn't have like let me just say this. So this like true for a lot of Italian families too, right? Sometimes you go to Italian homes, they only eat Italian food. Period. They not eat nothing else, right? Well, Jamaicans can be like that too, only eating Jamaican food, period. So my family, a lot of my family, don't even eat pizza because they're like, pizza, you know, because they're Jamaican, right? But my mother wasn't like that. My mother made food from everywhere. Like, you know, like we had corned beef and cabbage, like the real one, like the big corned beef, sliced it up, the mustard sauce, the cabbage. You know, every night it was a variety. My mother was very regimented. Like, even though she worked, you know, we had dinner at 6 o'clock. My father's at the table. We ate. But she would always experiment with different dishes from all over. American food, Jamaican food, you know. So I grew up eating everything.
That's good.
My father was a vegan. So vegan before vegan was in fashion. He was a vegan. So I grew up eating like Ezekiel bread, like real sprouted grain breads. And, you know, I grew up eating that kind of stuff because it was always like a mixture in my house.
Interesting. It's very eclectic and very much a New York kind of family in the sense that the world all kind of melts together in New York or the big salad bowl of New York. You're drawing from all those heritages, which is great because now it's showing up. You've got a platform. You've got the pizza as your platform to be able to showcase all these different culinary influences on your life.
So, and I'm having fun now, like, you know, I worked so diligently for not so long, because I mean, people have worked longer, but for me, just pizza every single day for like 5 years straight, I would say. This is the first year, last year, it was the first year I slowed down. But now I'm starting to experiment more. There's a lot more that I want to do.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you before we run out of time, because we started to talk about whether or not you would want to go into a restaurant format or a bigger operation, and you said you never really were interested in getting into the pizza business, but where do you see yourself going in the next couple
years? I would say eventually I will have a restaurant down the line, but that's not what I want first. What I want first is twofold, because there's me as a chef and then there's me as my business. So I already sell a frozen pizza product. I ship frozen pizzas nationwide. So I already do that. I sat down and developed a system in 2016. It took me like almost 6 months in my spare time to like break down the zones from all the different states across the country to figure out how I can ship from here without paying a third party. So I did that, started in 2016. So I have a really good shipping portion of my business. So I would like to go into manufacturing more so than anything, because I just feel like I could create more jobs. I could create more frozen food opportunities for other people, other businesses, and still have an income for Last Dragon Pizza. So that's first. But for me, I really am still developing my skills, still developing my craft. And I do want to be, you know, a certified pizzaiola one day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. So with the frozen pizzas, do you sell it as a frozen unbaked pie, or do you bake it first and then they rebake?
It's part baked.
The crust is baked. Are the toppings baked too?
Yeah, like if you get the Kiss Me Converse, the toppings are baked, they're cooked already. So I will never send like nothing raw.
You get, when I get it in my, and it comes to my house, I just take the frozen pizza and pop it in the oven frozen.
There you go.
Interesting. Wow.
Straight out. Yeah.
So where are you making those pizzas? Are you making them right there in that oven?
Yeah, right here. And I have a freezer and I stack them up. And then
when
I
sleep.
Right. No, all jokes aside, you're laughing, but I had to slow down. I was doing too much for myself. Not that I was doing too much, but for myself, I was doing too much. You know,
are you doing enough business to perhaps rent a space in a community kitchen setup where you don't have to, where you can do?
I was considering a community, I'm sorry to talk over you. I was considering a community kitchen, but the thing is, when I went in there's so many regulations, like some kitchens you can't have any meats in there. Dough takes days to process, not like a day, you know, whatever. They bill you by the hour. So the cost, it would cost me to make a pizza in a kitchen. It's just the overhead is just too high for simple baking, whatever the case may be. Then I was like, I went into these walk-in fridge in the, you know, the kitchens, big kitchens, wonderful kitchens, but I don't want my frozen pizza sitting on the shelf next to somebody else's thing. And I'm not there. I can't see. You know, I just didn't feel comfortable.
Right. So you haven't found the right setup that would allow you to expand. Yeah,
that's exactly why I would like to do my own. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's exactly why I would like to do.
But not as a restaurant, maybe, but just as a production kitchen, a commissary.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, it sounds like things are percolating. They're going really great. Nicole, if people want to reach you, what's the best way for them to either order from you a frozen, or if they're local, a fresh, and or to even converse with you? Are you on Instagram? Are you on, do you have an email?
Yeah. So the number one way to reach me is my website, www.lastdragonpizza.com. And the social media I stay on the most is Instagram. So follow me there. I'm not a social media person. I'm only on there to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
But I'm on all of them, Twitter, Facebook, whatever have you, but I'm always on Instagram.
So people can reach you directly through either Instagram, or they can go to your website.
Yeah, my website.
And so basically what you want to do, folks, is keep your eye on this girl here, because something's happened. You came up with something that's uniquely yours. It's bringing you joy. It's wearing you out. but you're creating some really amazing pizzas. And you've done something that a lot of pizza operators would love to have, which is a relationship with a producing company that produces flour and sauces. And they're taking you over to Italy, and you're almost like the ambassador, the goodwill ambassador for that company.
Well, I am an ambassador for Women in Pizza. I am. They asked me, and I said, sure. I mean, how could I turn down the people that have been so gracious to me? I wouldn't turn them down anyway, but they're so gracious. I can't even put into words. I really can't. I mean, that trip was a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah. I wish I could have been
I cried. I don't know if you saw on my Instagram. There's actually, if you search my Instagram during that time, I cried for like 11 minutes. I was sitting behind because I couldn't believe it. Like a lot of people are in my shoes where they're home, they have an idea, they're thinking they want to do something. And then I sat there and I was in Naples in the tent where they're doing the competition. And in front of me was all my heroes. Pete from Pizza Today, Scott right there, Tony Gimignani, John Arena. And I'm sitting right behind them. And I'm seeing it, and I just had a moment where I looked and I was like, I used to search these people online, and I'm sitting right behind them. And I cried for 11 minutes straight.
It must have been almost like an out-of-body experience. You're going, am I really here with these guys, with my heroes? It's pretty cool. And now people are going to say that about you one day. They're gonna be going,
and hopefully it'll inspire other people to just take a chance on themselves.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to talk with you, because, you know, there are people that are just doing it, and there's other people that are doing it but also have a deeper reason for doing it, which is to change people's lives. And thank you for doing that and for being a role model for the next generation. You're just getting us started, but you're already, people are looking up to you as somebody, you know, that they can emulate and follow. So Nicole Russell, thank you so much for being with us on Pizza Talk. Thank
all of you. Peter, you are also one of my idols. I can't believe I'm on your show.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you so much. I used to see you at Expo, and I used to be scared to come to you. And now, look, I'm just like, I can't believe I'm doing this, so thank you.
I think we got to meet briefly in
Expo. Briefly, like hi.
Yeah, But just not so much going on, you can't do more than three. But this is why I love having this show, because we get to know each other a lot deeper. And the next time we see each other, it'll be like, oh, wow, like old friends.
Yeah. And I just want to tell you, thank you so much.
Well, it's been an honor to be with you today, Nicole. And thank you for everything. Thank you for, you know, what you're doing. And congratulations on your growing success.
Thank you.
Last Dragon Pizza, Nicole Russell. Thank you for being on Pizza Talk and watching us today. And join us on the next episodes.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Pizza Quest is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, and connect with us on Instagram and Twitter @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Thanks for listening.